Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. Having done all to stand, stand, having your loins girt about with truth. May the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth in this most difficult and challenging time in which we live. Thanks for joining us again. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. The book, Renewing the Soul of America, One Person at a Time, beginning with you, an $18 book, your gift of $15 until July 4th. Get it in bulk, friends. Pass it out. Let's get the message out. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org. God bless you. Be a blessing. And let's pray that righteousness and truth be done in our land.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news, behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And from the for this next hour, they're going to be the views of Karen Hootis, and we're going to be talking about the World Bank, about the world banking system, about the corruption that exists within the World Bank and the world banking system. And our guest certainly is a lawyer. She had worked for many years for the World Bank, and she began to understand that this whole system was corrupt. And when she tried to bring what was going on to her superiors, why, of course, she was transferred. And, well, I'm going to let her tell this story because it's an amazing story. Everybody should know about it, but you're not going to hear it because the media is not going to cover this. However, increasingly throughout the world, people realize that the financial system is corrupt. And many of the leaders of other countries are very, very concerned about this. And, of course, this is going to end up, I believe, with some serious consequences that are going to affect everyone in the listening audience. Karen, you go ahead and give the background of what you found when you were there as a lawyer working for the World Bank.
Well, what I found was that people were not playing by the rules. And it was only by insisting, you know, sticking to my guns and trying to end the cover-up, because the cover-up in a bank is a terrible thing, and especially in an institution like the World Bank, where the 188 ministers of finance are on the board of governors. If there's a cover-up at the World Bank and it can't be resolved, then clearly there's got to be some terrible problem. And that was why I stuck with the problem. The thing about the World Bank is it's at the very center of the international financial system, together with its sister organization, the International Monetary Fund. These two institutions are called the Bretton Woods institutions because 44 countries gathered at the Bretton Woods ski resort in New Hampshire in 1944 to negotiate the treaties. And there's actually nothing wrong with the treaties. The treaties are really quite sound. It's just that when there's corruption, the trees aren't, you know, they're not observed. And when I saw the problems going on at the World Bank, I thought it was just going to be a piece of cake to resolve them. I had always been trained. I went to Yale Law School. I'd always been trained to expect that the law would prevail, that the law was king. And it's only now that I've realized what the problem is. There are some very corrupt people who think they're above the law, and they were the ones that were corrupting the World Bank. I found this out only because things were just not able to be explained. So, for example, in 2010, when I met with the UK Serious Fraud Office and the UK called up the Securities and Exchange Commission, I thought that the problem was resolved finally. And it wasn't. What happened was I had to work together with another World Bank whistleblower from the United Kingdom and testified in the UK Parliament that the Serious Fraud Office had reported the corruption at the World Bank and that nothing had happened.
Well, you hold that thought, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Karen Hootis right here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Karen was just saying that there really is total corruption. There was overbilling, people borrowing money. There was double billing. A lot of people were pocketing money, certainly. But nobody really wanted to speak out, because if you did, you're going to lose your job. And basically, of course, now this is the foundation of the World Monetary System, the World Bank, working in conjunction with the Federal Reserve. Remember, the American Federal Reserve is a privately owned central bank. It's owned by a number of very, very large mega banks. We're told they're too big to fail. And these are the people who control our central bank, that controls our economy, and working in conjunction with the World Bank, controls the economy of the world. Would that be a fairly accurate statement, Karen?
Yes, but I would just say one thing, and that is that it appears as if they're separate banks, but through very clever interlocking corporate directors, what you have is it's really one institution. In the study that I was referring to, they call it a super entity. And this super entity has bought up the media. So that is why I couldn't get my story out. I was fired in retaliation for telling Congress about the corruption. I was fired in 2007, and I've been trying very hard since then to get my story out. It's only lately that I've succeeded, and that was because I found another whistleblower who just spent time showing me where the people, the outlets in the alternative press were. But since we spoke, you know, I've been on the Russia Today television network. I had an interview on Friday, the 21st, I believe that is. And this has really accelerated things. This is there's no way to get around the corruption that I've been reporting. And the fact of the matter is that when the media is dominated in a democracy and there's a cover-up to the American people, this has very serious repercussions, and people have recognized this. And that is why, at the current time, I've taken a number of steps to try to bring rule of law to bear, because these bankers are not going to sit back and let their dominance of the world economy go into decline. They do not want to be subject to law. And so what I'm afraid of is if you hear about plans for mass marches, and some of these people that are going on the marches are planning on being armed. Now, this is going to boomerang. This is going to result in a clampdown. And that's exactly what the corrupt individuals would like. They don't care about a democracy. They don't care about rights. And so what I did this morning was this group that I'm talking about, they are the ones that have put the security personnel at the World Bank. I was reinstated by the ministers of finance. And when I went to go back to work, I was not allowed in because of the security firm. So what I did was I wrote to the ministers of finance, and I wrote to, there's also a board of executive directors, 25 of them that are residents. And seven of them represent individual countries. So that's the United States, Germany, France, China, Japan, the United Kingdom, Saudi Arabia. Yeah. And then the rest of the countries are grouped in constituencies and share an executive director. So I wrote to the executive directors, and I gave them the name of another firm that they should hire to provide the security personnel so that I can be reinstated, and so that we can have rule of law, and so that these corrupt individuals are made to obey the laws. And this is what the world wants, and this is what the world needs. But in order to prevent this from happening, they're planning on having a clampdown. And the other risk is what's going on in the gold market, and that is that the paper currencies are now very much, people are losing confidence in them. And so there's going to be a risk of something called gold backwardation, which is that people who hold gold will not sell it for paper currency because they don't think the paper currency is worth the price that they're getting for it. The paper is losing confidence in the paper. And when you have that, there's no way to pay for international trade. So we've got to avoid this. And what I'm asking, when I sent the request to the board of the World Bank and to the countries that own the World Bank, I copied all of the governors and the attorneys general, the National Association of Attorneys General and the National Governors Association. I would like your listeners to tell their governors and their attorneys general that it's very important that this go forward and that we do have rule of law as opposed to a clampdown. It's going to be very difficult, either if we go into gold backwardation and we have a world that wrecks world trade, that will destroy everybody's economy, because if you look at the goods, we don't just have a few things imported these days. We assemble the goods from components all over the world. We can't have a situation where there's no way to pay for international trade. So we're coming to a situation where either people demand the rule of law, or we're going to get something else, which is not a situation that any of us want.
Well, basically, Karen, what you're saying is that there's a small group of people that really control our Fed Reserve, our privately owned central bank. They're working in concert with people there at the upper echelons of the World Bank, and they have a totally fraudulent system. And basically, of course, this whole thing could certainly lead to a breakdown of the structure of our world financial system. We need a world financial system to be able to buy things. And you're suggesting that you think, and I think you're probably right, that somebody is trying to get this demonstrations against this, perhaps armed demonstrations, which would be the worst thing. Certainly, we're seeing this in Brazil today. 2 million people out on the streets marching, and everybody says, gee, isn't that wonderful? We're going to get democracy. People don't understand that these marches are all engineered. Somebody's putting them up to it. Same thing is happening over in Egypt today, massive demonstrations over in Egypt, and they're all being engineered, and the people, most of them marching, have no idea they're being manipulated. And Chris, I think Karen's fear is that here in the United States, he could come up with something like that. And then what would be the response? Well, when they're talking about this in Turkey, they're having the same trouble in Turkey, and the military is saying, we're going to go in and just shut this whole thing down, establish a military dictatorship in Turkey, because we're not going to have civil unrest that tends to break down the structure of society. And if you don't think for 1 minute that they'd do that here in the United States, or the military go right along with that, do anything you have to maintain law and order. And with that, of course, comes subsequently the loss of freedom. Would that be a fair estimate of what you're suggesting?
That's a very good way of putting it. Absolutely.
Well, basically, of course, do the leaders of the world, you mentioned there's 188 nations, do certainly the finance ministers or the leaders of many of these nations understand the degree of corruption that exists there between the Federal Reserve System, the American Central Bank, and the World Bank? And then, of course, I'm sure that the English, probably England, and probably another couple of the countries are working hand in hand with this. Well, certainly this is not simply America alone. We couldn't do this without the support of Germany and England and Japan, could we?
You know, in the case of Germany, what's happened is that they have asked for their gold to be repatriated. We're losing Germany as an ally because the Federal Reserve refused, and this was Germany's gold. They said, it'll take us 7 years to give you your gold back. This is an act of war. So I would say that it's pretty clear that Germany is not going along with this. It's just the opposite. I think a number of countries are very aware of what's going on, because I've been writing to all of them. I've written to the Washington embassies. I've also written to some of the ministers of finance themselves. And I've been informing them for the last 4 years of progress towards rule of law. I've also been informing all of the members of Congress. And Congress, when the World Bank asked for money, they put a proviso in the appropriations legislation saying that the World Bank would not get its money until the World Bank made its whistleblowers whole, that the effects of retaliation were eliminated. So there is a very strong, compelling case for rule of law, and it's very clear that this group has been scofflaws, no respect for the law, and that has to stop. They're not above the law. They're subject to the law.
Well, they should be subject to the law, and I just hope one day they will be. But there is this small group, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. People have various names for them. It doesn't matter what you call them.
You call it the Brotherhood of?
Of Darkness. I have written a book by that. We have about 160 to 100,000 copies out across America. In fact, I've been meaning to get your address, and I'll send you a copy. But basically, of course, we see this total disregard for what is right. We see people making tremendous profits, and we also see this whole world financial system, I think, on the brink of disaster. We'll be back in just a moment with Karen Hubis.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do all that you sell. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Karen was telling how certainly Eric Holder, the Attorney General, actually had her excluded from attending a meeting of the World Bank after she had actually been reinstated by the 180 finance ministers there. How Eric Holder had sued Standard & Poor's, and basically, of course, he had already done this because Standard & Poor's had lowered the credit rating of the United States. Of course, Holder wouldn't admit that. He gave other reasons why, but the truth of the matter is that basically anybody who tells the public and tells others that America's financial system is rocky, certainly the financial stability of this nation is poor, we do not have the gold that we claim we do, we have nothing behind our currency, and I suspect that our gold has been funneled off into the hands of some very wealthy people. Why do I say that? Well, of course, as Karen has pointed out, when Germany recently asked to get the gold repatriated, they actually moved their gold from Germany to America following World War II because they were afraid of a communist invasion, a Russian invasion of Europe, and they didn't want the Russians to end up with their gold, so they transferred to the United States where they thought it would be safe. And yet recently, when Germany asked to get their gold, first of all, they wanted it audited so they could see it, and they were told they couldn't. Then they asked to get the gold back, and they were told, well, maybe in 7 years while you get your gold back again. Which really suggests, and I think people throughout the world suddenly realize, America does not have the gold behind its currency. In fact, the American currency is backed by the integrity of our president, and I don't think most people really are feel very secure about that. Well, anyway, Karen's on the front lines of this battle. She's been there since 2007 when she was actually fired by the World Bank for exposing the fact that there was corruption and dishonesty and all sorts of illegal shenanigans going on in the World Bank and certainly in other banking institutions. And you're not supposed to bring out the truth. If you do, you're going to get into trouble. If you're out there in the listening audience and have a question or a comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, Karen, where can people go on the internet and get your information, get some of the articles and things that you've written about this corruption in the financial system of this one entity? It's really the World Bank and the Federal Reserve. The two certainly work hand in hand as if they're one organization, a small group of people controlling the central bank of the United States and using it to pursue their goals rather than what's best for our country. How can people get your material?
At www.kahudesandavidesandsam.net. kahudes.net. So that is Karen, for my middle name is Alexander.
But basically, that's K, Karen, A for Alexander, Hudes, H-U-D-E-S, and is that .com?
.net.
.net. Okay, K-A, Hudes, K-A-H-U-D-E-S.net. And so to get her information, it's fascinating. One of the more interesting people we've had on our program. And if you're out there and you have a question, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Let's go to Michael, who's calling us from Michigan. Michael, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, just sort of a comment, really. Maybe she could comment on it. But, the way I understand it, Dr. Stan, is that the law is only good if it's upheld lawfully. So if we have a bunch of people that aren't following the law, then the law's not being upheld, and then, so, I don't know. It just seems like they're pulling the wool over our eyes, and the law doesn't really much mean anything anymore except for us to believe in the law and to follow the law, but our leaders don't seem to be too interested in that. Because you can't take the gold from Germany and not give them their gold back, and, you know, if you're a thief, you're not really worth much, so.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you. I certainly agree with what you're saying, Michael. God bless. And thanks for calling. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But ladies and gentlemen, basically the foundation of our society is our monetary system. And basically, if the monetary system is not functioning and functioning properly, why, of course, the whole system eventually collapses. We've seen a dramatic decline in the price of gold and silver recently. Gold was about $1,250 an ounce, Sydney. Silver's down to $19 an ounce. Of course, you can buy all you want to, but they won't deliver it. You can't get your hands on it. There isn't any silver out there. But right now, it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get the silver. And 6 or 8 weeks may go by, and there may not be any silver, and nobody's selling it. And as Karen points out, basically what happens, of course, when people want their gold and there isn't any gold, then the whole monetary system begins to collapse. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
I had a comment on...
Most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Karen Hudes, H-U-D-E-S. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Before we went to the break, we had a call from Mike from Michigan, who was just saying how important the law is for the stability of our nation. And basically, Karen reiterated what Mike had said, and pointing out that if you do not have the law, you do not have an organized society. And certainly, I think we have a great deal to be concerned about. And then, of course, during the break, we were talking about what's happening. The dollar, of course, has been the predominant currency going back to the end of the Second World War. And certainly, it replaced the pound as the major currency. But, of course, in 1971, we went off the gold standard, and they had a basket of currencies, but the dollar was still predominant. But recently, of course, we find why the so-called BRIC nations, that's Brazil and Russia and India and China and South Africa, are beginning to form their own certainly monetary system, excluding the dollar and beginning to trade and work out among themselves. And so what we're beginning to see, because you're not going to see this discussed in the American media, because the American media is rigidly controlled by a few major corporations, all of which interlock with the people who control our banking system and control certainly the political structure of our society. But basically, of course, what is transpiring is that even the dollar would appear to be very strong, there's absolutely nothing behind it. Certainly, I do not believe that there is gold behind this. And one of these days, it can be certainly literally overnight, a collapse of our currency. We've seen this with other countries in the past, and this would be a disaster. It would be a disaster for people who have their money invested in annuities or in bonds or in stocks, or certainly who have pensions that they're anticipating getting somebody else is holding. Basically, the best way to destroy a nation is, if you wanted to destroy it, would be to destroy its monetary system. And there's a very serious question about the stability of our monetary system. And this is why we have to get back to the rule of law and a solid monetary system where the people who are running that, and that would be the World Bank, and the privately owned central bank we call the Federal Reserve System, are held to the certainly the rule of law and stability, and having a solid currency rather than a currency which is progressively being eroded. And certainly the guarantee that they have gold behind our currency, well, the Germans certainly don't believe that, because when they asked recently for their currency, they were told they couldn't have it for 7 years. Why 7 years? Well, what do our leaders know that the rest of us don't know? And why 7 years? Our telephone number is 1-888, that's 888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. You have a question or comment, but Karen's been on the front lines of this battle for many years. How long did you work for the World Bank, Karen, before you actually were fired?
21 years.
21 years. So you gave up an awful lot to take a strong stand there and challenge what was going on, didn't you?
It didn't feel like I was taking a strong stand, actually. It felt like I was doing what I was supposed to do. There are rules of professional responsibility for lawyers. And for lawyers that are working in an organization that issues $180 billion worth of bonds, you have got to report fraud and corruption up the corporate ladder. And then it's even clear that if you cannot get the situation resolved with the audit committee, you are obligated to report this outside to the oversight authority, to the regulator. And that is exactly what I did. But when I found out that the Securities and Exchange Commission was not doing its job, this means that investors on the stock market, if you're a regular investor, you're picking up the pieces after the insiders have done their insider trading. So the Securities and Exchange Commission was not doing its job either. What I ended up documenting was state capture. That is when the institutions in a society are not serving the interests of the citizens, they're serving somebody else. That's what I documented. And certainly when I found that out, I wasn't going to ignore it. I just kept trying to get the news out. And the more I tried, the more I documented that we had state capture of the news media. There is no freedom of the press here because the press is owned, bought, and delivered to those corporate interests. Now, that once I discovered that, once I documented that, I knew I had to keep going because I knew that this was a problem that was going to absolutely sink everyone. And I got through. But the question is, did I get through in time? And that's the real question now.
Well, I'll never forget. It was about 50 years ago when I got started in this battle. And at that time, when I suddenly realized that I wasn't getting the truth out of the newspapers, that I began to see how they were slanting the news. Of course, today, at that time, there were 50 or 60 corporations that controlled the media. Today, there are 6 major corporations that control the media, and they all interlock, and they interlock with the banks, and they then largely determine what the American people think, or at least what they thought prior to the advent of the Internet. And certainly the Internet and alternative radio does a great job. Understand that there's a lot of intentional disinformation and misinformation that's put up there just to confuse you. So you have to learn who you can trust and who you can believe. But at least you do have access to the truth now. And of course, what we need is for more and more people to understand that the major news media, television, radio, things of that sort, are specifically designed not to inform, but to conceal the truth. Some people play the part of liberals, and some people play the part of conservatives, and they really sound great, but because what they don't do is ever tell you the whole truth. They make very good arguments. It's wonderful entertainment. They sound so sincere, but unfortunately, why they're getting paid fabulous sums of money not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth for the American people. Have you been able to get on any of the major television or radio networks?
No. I've gotten on Russia Today TV. That's about the largest media outlet that I've gotten on.
Well, didn't you get on to Alex Jones?
Yes, but that's alternative.
Oh, I know. Well, of course, that's alternative. But Alex has a tremendous coverage. In fact, I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and he was telling me he was over in Greece recently. He's with a large corporation. He was meeting with some very wealthy and well-placed people in Greece. And this fellow that he was talking to with a number of other Greek leaders was asking my friend if he knew Alex Jones. And my friend said, yes, he did. And this fellow said, well, you know, we all listen to Alex Jones over here. Now, this is one of the Greek leaders, financial leaders. And so if they're listening to him in Greece, you know he's having a great outlet. So being on with him certainly is, I think, gives you an opportunity to reach people all across the world. Alex is doing a great job. I've followed his career for many years. And I certainly have the greatest admiration for what he's doing, because I will tell you that what he's doing is very, very dangerous. Sometimes it can be very, very costly to tell the truth, as you have learned.
Well, I've had a lot of people supporting me. And so, and there are more each day. The question is, if there are enough, and if they'll be able to prevail. And I think we're all running out of time. What I would hope is that people will pick up their pens and write their governors and tell them that we're running out of time, and we have got to assert ourselves as a country that is a law-abiding country and not a country that duped by its corporate shills, which is what they are.
They certainly are. Well, basically, of course, as far as the corruption was concerned, was it simply having to do with the fact that they were altering the interest rates? Did it have to do with the double billing? What sort of things were they doing within the banking system that was honest, not dishonest? Certainly, were they giving loans when they shouldn't? Were they not giving loans when they should? How did this all work? And certainly, what was the various means by which they were undermining the monetary system when you were there watching?
It was all based on disinformation. The specific cover-up that I reported was in the Philippines, where there was a loan that was supposed to strengthen the financial sector in the Philippines. And one of the conditions, this was right after the East Asia financial crisis, and one of the conditions was that the second largest bank, Philippines National Bank, was supposed to be sold to a private individual. The government owned it. And what happened was the president of the Philippines, Joseph Estrada, would gamble at night. And he gambled with his buddy, his crony, Lucio Tan, who owned Philippine Airlines. And he, you know, Estrada lost, Tan won. And the next thing that happened was the employee shares in Philippine National Bank ended up with Lucio Tan. Now, that was a violation of the securities laws because you had to report if you acquired more than 10% of the shares of a bank, you had to report that. Well, they didn't report it. And the people who had their money on deposit in Philippine National Bank got frightened. They didn't want their money in a bank that was managed by a borrower in default. So they there was a run on the bank, and Philippine Deposit Insurance Corporation had to bail out the bank for $500 million. And then when it came time to disburse the loan, I went to the decision meeting, and I said, you know, you haven't gotten a waiver from the condition, and the condition has not been met. You have not privatized this bank, and nobody is going to come in there and buy a minority interest in a bank that's run by a borrower in default. So the $200 million outstanding in the loan was canceled, and there was Japanese financing for $200 million. That got canceled. So it was $900 million worth of problem loan. And when the World Bank raided the project, because there's an evaluation that happens at the end of the project, the evaluation department said the World Bank did a satisfactory job of supervising the project because we couldn't have anticipated what was going to happen. And I wrote a letter to the evaluation department. I said, you most certainly could have anticipated it because I was warning the country director. And so they lied to the board. That was a cover-up. And the cover-up just continued. It just got bigger and bigger. And then the Dutch government wrote a letter and asked for the audit committee to look into the matter. And instead of that, Pierre Duquesne, who represented the French government, asked for there to be an investigation into something called the Institutional Integrity Department. Now, the Institutional Integrity Department was actually just the opposite. The people that worked there would investigate anybody who was reporting corruption. They were not investigating corruption. So that group acted like a goon squad. And then what happened, I mean, the whole thing, it boggles the mind. I speak Dutch because I studied economics in Holland. And I was in Holland when the board was firing Paul Wolfowitz for giving an exorbitant pay raise to his girlfriend. And the man who represented the Dutch government, Herman Bijfels, reported that the board who were trying to fire Paul Wolfowitz, they were getting blackmailed. Do you remember what happened with Elliot Spitzer?
Yes, I do. Go.
Yes, okay. Well, some of the executive directors were also going to the New York Madam. And the ones who were told that if they fired Paul Wolfowitz, this would be made public. And they fired him anyway. But I went back to the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, and I told Senator Lugar what I had found out in Holland. It wasn't just Herman Bijfels that reported it. The next day there was a television show, and they asked the man who had been Bijfels' predecessor, Ad Melkert, whether he was also having problems. And Ad said, well, I'm a boring guy, but I spoke to other executive directors, and they were absolutely appalled at what was going on. So I told Senator Lugar's people, and they told me to go to Kenneth Peel in the Treasury Department. And I said, are you out of your mind blackmailing ambassadors on the board of the World Bank? They're not going to forget this. And, of course, they didn't. So that was the kind of thing. When you're trying to intimidate executive directors on the board, you can imagine what kind of corruption there is going on there. And what I also warned the Treasury Department was, I said, the U.S. is losing its credibility. And we are no longer going to be able to appoint the president of the World Bank. There was something called the Gentleman's Agreement, which is that the U.S. could just pick and name whoever was going to be the president of the World Bank, and the Europeans could do that for the International Monetary Fund. Well, after, you know, what was going on with that kind of corruption, the other members of the World Bank said, no, we do not agree that there's going to be a gentleman's agreement any longer. And it went by the board in 2010. Now, I had been using a very accurate stakeholder analysis. A political scientist, Jacek Kugler, who worked at, he was the head of the Department of Political Science at Claremont University, came to the World Bank with this very accurate stakeholder analysis. And I modeled rule of law in 2004, and it predicted that we were going to lose the gentleman's agreement, which is what happened in 2010. I told the Treasury Department about this stakeholder analysis. And I have, at the time in 2008, I also told then Senator Chuck Hagel. And so when Chuck Hagel became Secretary of Defense, I went to the Inspector General's office in the Defense Department, and I reported, you know, I said, you all have been using the same exact stakeholder analysis that I was, and you know that we are headed to a currency war if we do not have rule of law. And that analysis is 90 to 95% accurate. And a week after that, the person who was the manager of that project in the Department of Defense contacted me on LinkedIn. So I've been in touch with Secretary Hagel ever since, and he knows how important it is to have rule of law and how close we are to losing NATO if we do not have rule of law.
Well, I share your concern, and I just hope and pray that we can get the thing straightened out and that we can perhaps even get you back, get Shaw back again. We'll do everything we can. With the audience that we have, this program is being heard on about 15 different outlets across America. Our guest has been Karen Hudes, H-U-D-E-S. Her website is kahudes.net, kahudes.net. We'll be back in a moment.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what we sell. Being free of diseases, free of well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have to get Sarah on the line. Sarah, we're out of time, but God bless. Thanks so much. And basically, Karen, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure and joy to being in contact with you, and hope we can keep in touch.
I hope so, too. Thanks for having me.
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to I'll tell you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, well, I would love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or you can certainly get our various products that we produce, the tape sets, the CD sets, that the we have a number of books. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to understand the spiritual forces behind what's going on today. Now, let me suggest, if you want to begin to connect the dots, you need to hear my talk on Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. Agenda 21, the Covert Plan, or Planned Population Control, the Secret Agenda. They're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Suddenly, you need to understand what's going on financially. And one of the best books on that is called The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you haven't read it, you should. And it's also available by calling our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get our DVD on geoengineering, because they are engineering the atmosphere. They're actually spraying, and they actually have put aluminum into the jet fuel. Why would you put aluminum into the jet fuel when it's a deadly poison? It actually increases the instances of cancer and infertility, and certainly it poisons the soil, it poisons the trees, it poisons the food, it poisons the fish and the whales and the animals. And well, maybe that's why they put the jet aluminum into the jet fuel. Is it possible that there are people who sincerely believe that there are too many people in the world and they want to restrict the number of people in the world? I simply ask that and suggest you get my material, either our 4-tape set on population control, or I think the best single source would be my talk, Population Control, the Secret Agenda. You can also get my talk on planned population reduction, or none dare call it genocide, but they will all get the information that you need to have, not only to understand what's going on, but to begin to protect yourself and your family. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, and you can go to radioliberty.com, or you can certainly watch our DVDs there. You can listen to our radio programs, and as you know, we do 5 hours a day. There are 4 hours there at our website, 4 hours at radioliberty.com. You can listen every day live, or certainly our programs are archived, and you can listen to them there. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will tell others about our program and encourage them to listen on a regular basis, because my job is to inform as many people as we can in the time that we have left, because basically we're moving towards a climax in the history of our nation. Basically, of course, we are facing a financial situation where the Federal Reserve System is putting almost $1 trillion a year into the economy. There is no better way that to destroy the foundation of this nation than to flood us with money which has no backing behind it. And yet, of course, our central bank is doing that. And remember, the Federal Reserve is a privately owned central bank. It is not certainly part of our government at all. It's privately owned. There is an agenda behind it. And it's really controlled by what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me suggest that you get it. You can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. Then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and pray for our ministers. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. We'll be back in a moment with Patrick Wood, writer at Radio Liberty.
I'll be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices.
This is Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Patrick Wood from AugustReview.org. And basically, Patrick has a great deal of information. He is one of the best informed people about what's really going on, certainly in the 1970s, late 1970s. He worked very closely with our good friend, Professor Tony Sutton. And, of course, they were going into the background of the government, of the organization that rules the world today, the Trilateral Commission. The Trilateral Commission was actually organized in 1973 after Gary Allen exposed the Council on Foreign Relations in his book, Nandere Color Conspiracy, in 1971. So David Rockefeller had to actually create a new front organization for the power elite, and it turned out to be the Trilateral Commission. And you want to know about the Trilateral Commission, their influence, you want to go to Patrick Wood's website. However, Patrick covers a number of issues, and today he has a financial newsletter, and he's trying to get the American people to understand that we are on the brink of some very, very serious financial problems. I don't know if you've been watching what's happening to gold, but price of gold has been plummeting. It was about $1,260 an ounce today. Silver was just a few cents over $19 an ounce, down from almost $50 an ounce for silver, and down from almost $2,000 an ounce from gold. These are all being manipulated, in my estimation. There's no financial reason for what's happening. But, of course, it's a wonderful buying opportunity. The trouble with silver is you can buy all the silver you want to, you just can't get it delivered. And I think the same thing is going to happen to gold very, very soon. The stock market certainly has had a dramatic decrease here in this past week. And, well, I'm going to let Patrick pick up the story, and so you get his thoughts and his ideas. Hi, Patrick. How are we doing?
Well, hi, Dr. Stan. Nice talking to you again. That's a good good summary of what's going on with several markets right now. We are definitely in some volatile times, I have to say. We haven't seen this level of volatility in probably 5 years, but seems to be upon us now. So the question ahead of us is, you know, how much damage will the Fed have done before this is done with their tightening and the quantitative easing program that they alluded to this last week? And one of the most interesting charts, by the way, that I've seen in some time was released by the Federal Reserve, and that is the chart of the M1 money supply. That's the most primary component of the money supply. Of course, they don't really chart the M3 anymore like they used to. I don't think they want people to know exactly what kind of money's out there, but the M1 money supply chart is collapsing, and it typically has traded in a fairly narrow range for a long time, at least a couple, 3 years now, and all of a sudden, it is just like cratered off the bottom of the chart.
Well, can you explain to us what you mean now? Basically, what are the figures that are on this? I mean, we hear sometimes about the monetary supply going from about 500 million up to about 3.2 trillion. But is that the M2 rather than the M1? What is? Can you explain the M1 and M2 for us? Patrick, can you explain M1 and M2 for us? And
does yes, any... I'm sorry. I thought the music cut away. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
Well, there's several components to the money, to the overall money supply. The M1 is the most fundamental part of it that has to do with cash and
hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Patrick, go right ahead. You're seeing the M1 has to do with cash. Go right ahead.
Well, it has mostly to do with cash and a few other very, very short-term instruments, but it's the closest measure that we have today to measure the immediate liquidity available in the system for the functioning of commerce, essentially, and, interbank transfers and so on. And, what it appears to be is that that people are again reverting to hoarding cash. And when cash is taken out of the market or gold or bonds or whatever and not reinvested into some other liquid asset, essentially it's a bank. It ends up either in their hands or it ends up in some other, cash equivalent. So it appears that people are, again, hoarding cash. This seems to be happening in Europe as well as in Asia right now as well. And that's a very deflationary mindset when people intuitively know that cash is king when money gets tight and so on. It's hard to get your hands on cash. So people figure, hey, I'll beat them to the punch, start taking my cash out now. The people in Greece found that out the hard way. When they got frozen out of their cash market for quite some time and couldn't even withdraw their funds from an ATM. And this seems to be a kind of a public-driven affair at this point, that cash, again, is emerging as king. Where this leads us to is that it causes a contraction in the banking system in general. It's the reverse of a fractional reserve system. So when money is taken out of circulation, the banks can't loan as much money. They don't have the deposits to back it up, so they have to call loans in, and or not make new loans. And so when the credit cloud contracts, there's less money, there's less credit in the system for other functions and so on. So people watch this. This measure of short-term cash very carefully, just to see what people are thinking and what they're doing with their feet.
And basically, now what is actually happening? What has actually happened to the M1 supply?
Well, it's gone down. It's dropped out of its range, and I have the chart here. Let's see if I can pull it up and look at it exactly. I think I can. Hang on just one second.
Okay, fine. Well, basically,
yes, I can.
We'll be back here. Hang on there, Patrick. Sure. We'll be back in just a moment with all of our stations all across America. And we want to hear exactly what is happening to M1. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Patrick certainly watches all of these financial charts. Now, we have certainly all these various figures, M1, we have M2, we have M3, and basically they don't tell us what's happening to M3 anymore. That's the total amount of money out there, and because they're concealing what's really happening there, because they don't want the public to understand. But they still do publish the M1 charts and the M2 charts. Now, what is M1? M1 is primarily the amount of cash that's out there, and it may have to do with short-term bank accounts, but bank deposits, but it's basically cash. And certainly what's happening is people are uncertain. They're not spending their money. They're not putting their money in the bank. They don't necessarily trust the banks. After all, we saw what happened over in Greece to people who put their money in the bank. So basically, of course, the amount of cash that's out there is certainly in people's hands. We can't depend on how much is in hands, but we do know how much is deposited in the banks. So basically, then, of course, what is happening to the cash, to the actual money that is certainly deposited in bank accounts, or certainly which is readily available for people to put in and take out? What's happening to that, Patrick?
Well, the way the M1 money stock is measured is by the percent of change from month to month and from year to year. And typically, the chart revolves around a 0% change. Fluctuates between -1%, +2%, spends more time on the plus side typically than it does on the negative side. But if you average it out, it's probably about 0.5%, maybe growth overall on average. In the last 3 months or 4 months, the volatility to this chart all of a sudden started to gyrate from -2% up to 2%, then back down to 2.5%, then up to 3%, then it dropped to 2%, -2% again, then it shot up all of a sudden to 3%. And after it hit the last peak, which was quite a bit more volatile than it's been typically in the last year, all of a sudden it's dropped straight down to below -4%. So the M1 money stock indicator right now is contracting at a rate, at an annualized rate of over 4%.
And I think what's so important about that is it means that the banks certainly have to have the money on deposit so that they can make loans. If they don't have the money on deposit, they can't make loans. And remember, for every dollar they have in deposit, they can lend $10. So that's what they used to be. Of course, during the height of our certainly inflationary spiral, the banks were lending $10, $20, $30, $40 for every dollar they had in deposit. And that's fine until somebody pulls that $1 out of deposit. Then you're in real trouble. Well, right now, because the banks don't have the money and people are not depositing them in the banks. And so basically, you're talking about a considerable drop, a significant drop in the amount of money that the banks are holding. Is that correct? And that means that they really can't lend out the money that they would ordinarily be lending. Would that be a fair assessment, Patrick?
Well, that's exactly right. It's a contraction in the overall amount of credit available to the marketplace. And the other factor that goes along with that is the velocity of M1. In other words, how fast money turns over in the system. And velocity, actually, the money M1 could be quite low. If velocity is high, then it means money is turning over rapidly. And, that makes up for perhaps a drop in actual money supply. But over the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen a consistent drop in the velocity of money, especially of M1. And that index continues to drop today. We're halfway through 2013 now. It's continuing to fall. So as velocity of money falls, at the same time that the actual level of money falls, you've got a double whammy. It's like, it's telling me very, very, very bluntly, people are holding on to cash. They're getting a hold of cash. They're afraid to let go of it. They're afraid to turn it over. And, that adds into the velocity when they do turn it over. if anybody went out and bought something tomorrow, and the vendors that took your money went out and bought something themselves, and those people took and bought money, bought something themselves, all of a sudden we could have a lot of economic activity in our system. But people aren't doing that. They're getting a hold of cash. They're hanging on to it. They're refusing to contribute back to the velocity of money by hanging on to it. And this overall, Dr. Stan, is a very ominous sign. This very much feeds the deflation scenario that I have talked about quite pointedly for probably, what, four or five years now. And I think it's taking hold again. I think we're right in the middle of it, and I think it's going to hit us very shortly.
Now, basically, of course, there are several scenarios. Various people have various ideas of what's going to happen. Some people will tell you we're going to have hyperinflation and it'll blow off with hyperinflation with all this money that they've been printing. But, of course, there's certainly nothing behind it. There's no real money there. It's all artificially created. It's all paper, imaginary, but there's no real dollars there as such. So basically, of course, they can keep printing all of this, but then, of course, it's not having an impact. Why? Because the banks aren't making loans, because corporations are not investing. They're hanging on to their money. And so the money is not turning over, so there's no velocity of money. If certainly the banks were making loans readily, if the corporations were investing in new factories and new production, then, of course, the economy would boom. But exactly the opposite is the case. Would that be a fair assessment, Patrick?
Well, it would be. And if it was only the United States that we saw this taking place, we might not be too concerned about the global economy, but this is happening in other areas as well. It's happening in Europe. It's happening especially in China right now, where the overnight lending rate between banks is spiking up, or has spiked up actually in China. That was the same scenario that led up to our financial crisis in 2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed. Banks refused to lend each other overnight, and that put some banks and some banking organizations flat out of business in a heartbeat. So we see these kinds of little, they're kind of like thermostats, I guess, or the warning light on your car when it starts flashing red, you know that something's going to happen quickly. But we see liquidity problems in all these other countries or regions as well as in the United States. That doesn't bode well. It also speaks of a concerted effort, by the way, I believe, on the part of the Bank for International Settlements. They have essentially, that is the BIS, has essentially thrown in the towel on any more bailout activity and any more quantitative easing activity in the future. Once the current programs are gone, they basically declared that they're not going to participate in this anymore. And so central banks are bowing out, and that alone could explain why money is being tightly held, even more tightly held today than it was just even 3 or 4 weeks ago. But overall, it doesn't bode well. And of course, with the economy being so weak all over the world, there's not one region in the world right now that boasts enough growth, economic growth, to pull itself out of the trouble that it's in right now, the financing, and the heavy debt load and stuff that it's been. So, we're in for a massive debt liquidation at some point in the future. There's just virtually no doubt about it. And we could be on the edge of it right now. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, it's really very interesting. I was listening to the news this afternoon, and the cheery announcer comes on and says, oh, the economy is getting better. The price of houses is going up. Car sales are increasing. Oh, everything's doing fine. And I'm listening to him. I'm saying, that fellow's lying through his teeth. Basically, of course, so the car sales are not doing well. Certainly the only reason that the property sales are going up is because the Chinese are coming over here and buying a lot of homes. They just want to get out of the dollar. But the economy is not doing well throughout the world. It's not doing well in China. It's contracting. It's not doing well in most of Europe. It's contracting. And it's not doing well in the United States. It's contracting. So why do they come on to the radio and tell us how well well as doing well. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, it's a matter of perception. If they can get you to feel that things are really good and getting better, well, you're going to go out and spend your money. But if you really recognize what's really going on, you're not going to do that. You're not going to be taken in by the controlled media. The media is controlled, and they're giving you the message they want you to believe. They want you to believe everything's fine. There's nothing to worry about. Look and see what happened to the stock market this last week. Look and see what happened to the price of gold even today after the closing, why it dropped. It even dropped after the closing, and the same thing is with silver. But the trouble is it's all manipulated. Because basically, if you go to the gold and silver dealers, you want to buy silver, they'll sell it to you, sell it to you at the prices. But of course, you won't be able to get it for 6 weeks. You may not get it in 6 weeks because there may not be any in 6 weeks. There's certainly not any available today. And certainly in the countries in China and India and other countries, they're buying the gold very, very much, as much as they can afford, because they realize the price has been artificially manipulated down. And you can only manipulate prices artificially for a short period of time, sooner or later, of course, while the market forces come back into force. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You have a question or comment. What are your thoughts on that, Patrick?
Well, I agree with your statement, Dr. Stan. And it's interesting now that there's that all of the asset classes that people can invest in to make money, they're all going down at the same time. Gold and silver are down. Bonds are down. All across the board, the value of bonds are down as interest rates rise. The stock market is down. Commodities are down. I can't think of one asset class that's really up right now that would be, you know, anywhere safe for investing. Another reason people want to hold cash.
And basically, more and more people are holding cash because there's no place that's safe to invest. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. Love to hear from you.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Well, Patrick, do we have any idea what's happening to M2 and M3? Are they also showing contractions in the availability of the money supply?
You know, I really don't know, Dr. Stan, right now. My guess is that they're all probably contracting at about the same, you know, at the same rate. But I haven't personally gone and researched that recently. I think that, you know, if we look at other countries where the numbers are still published, like Japan and so on, they're trying to pump like crazy over there. But, you know, the Fed has run out of steam. They run out of ammunition, and nothing they're doing these days is having any effect on the open market. The Fed would like to keep interest rates low, our Fed, but instead interest rates are rising, and rising rapidly, I might add, rather dramatically. And this is going to have a huge interest because of or huge impact because not only do people lose money on their portfolios very quickly as interest rates rise, but the government has to pay a higher premium to borrow money. And our government's already on the edge, been borrowing cheap money for quite a while and expanding the national debt. It's a catastrophe in the making. And while all this quantitative easing has been going on, The Federal Reserve has been expanding its own portfolio by buying Treasury bills and bonds from the Treasury, giving them cash in return to go out and buy things. And with interest rates on the rise right now, you can imagine what's happening to the value of those bonds being held by the Fed. They don't sell those bonds to anyone else. They're holding on. You know, they buy them and hold them. And they're losing money hand over fist as interest rates go up. So they cannot continue to lose money indefinitely. If rates were to spike up to 5 or 6 or 7%, it would be enough at this point to absolutely bankrupt the Federal Reserve. And you say, how could they be bankrupt? It's impossible. Well, they're holding a couple of trillion dollars worth of treasuries they can't sell them. They have to hold on to them. And imagine what would happen to the Treasury market if all of a sudden the Fed said, look, we're cutting our losses short. We're selling all of our Treasury bills or bonds into the market over the next 2 months. I mean, it would be complete panic and pandemonium on Wall Street, and every other market in the world would just go nuts. So they're in a real pickle right now.
Well, it seems that whatever they do is going to be a catastrophe if they continue doing what they're doing and pouring $1 trillion a year into the economy that they're creating out of nothing. This certainly will eventually begin to erode the value of our currency. On the other hand, if they stop doing that, if they stop pouring the money in, why, the interest rates will begin to go up, and suddenly the value of the bonds will begin to drop. And without that money going into the economy, I think the economy would collapse. Basically, they want that money there to keep the economy going. Cut off the money, the economy begins to fall, interest rates go up, price of bonds go down. I don't think most people understand, but when we talk about the stock market, that's not the big source of funding. The real source is the bond market. It's what, 6 or 8 or 10 times as large, and that could collapse. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood, and we're simply talking about what's going on. People have to understand the central bank is pumping massive amounts of money into the economy to keep it going. If they continue doing this indefinitely, why, of course, they put out so much money, it destroys the value of the currency. If they stop doing it, of course, why, the economy collapses. The only thing that's keeping the economy going is low interest rates and lots of money being shoved into the economy. If suddenly you stop putting the money out, the interest rates going up, it'll discourage investments. But not only that, it will mean the government will have to pay much higher rate for bonds. And of course, that means the rate of interest on the bonds will go up. And then, of course, as the government spends more and money interest on the bonds, it has less and less money to spend for other items. And basically, the whole structure of society begins to crumble. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. I guess it's Patrick Wood. And Patrick, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get your material?
Absolutely, Dr. Stan. AugustForecast.com. That's all people need to do is go there on the internet, www.augustlikethemonthforecast.com, and they'll see everything that they might want to find out on the banking system, on technocracy, on the Trilateral Commission, all three areas which I follow pretty closely these days. And, we do live in exciting times. I tell you, it's something to follow.
And, of course, basically, of course, Patrick certainly has the best site on the Trilateral Commission on the Internet, and you really want to get his information and see how the Trilateral Commission, the small, I think, 87 members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission, really control both political parties and make mockery of our electoral process. And the Bilderberger, everybody goes to the Bilderberger meetings, and we read about them in all of our newspapers, and we hear about them on alternative radio and reading the American Free Press. And they're simply a diversion. They're not where the power is. Yes, a lot of it is influential and very rich and wealthy people. But the power that rules the world does not rest with the Bilderberger group. I believe it rests with the Trilateral Commission. What are your thoughts on that, Patrick?
Well, it's absolutely right. We've been our executive branch in this country was hijacked back as far as 1976, when Jimmy Carter was elected, and members of the Trilateral Commission have dominated the executive branch ever since. But the same thing has happened in Europe. The members of the Commission over there and the European members were primarily responsible for bringing about the EU, and they're still very instrumental in running it. In Europe, they call those Trilateral Commission members mostly technocrats. Interesting. They actually use that term. We find in Japan, the same thing happened in Japan. And, of course, if you think that America has a broken economy right now thanks to this manipulation by people like the Trilateral Commission, you should look at Japan, because Japan started to fall apart starting about 1994. and they're still falling apart. And, you know, just about every institution they have is just still headed down. And it's been like, what, 20 years now?
And, well, basically, of course, the gentleman, the new prime minister, was going to cure the problem simply by suddenly printing money. And basically, his goal was to double the amount of money in circulation, which initially was really very beneficial. The stock market went up. Everything was going fine. And then, despite the fact he was pouring all this money out, suddenly the stock market going down and started going down. And the whole infrastructure over there in Japan is having ever increasingly more problems, and the value of their currency is being progressively destroyed by increasing the money, and yet it's not really suddenly accomplishing what it was intended to, is it?
Well, you know, adding money in terms of liquidity has done nothing for the economic systems of the countries that have done it. It hasn't done any good in Europe, hasn't done any good here, hasn't done any good in Japan, and I don't think it's going to do any good in China either. They're trying the same thing. The reason is because it doesn't do anything to alleviate debt. All it does is create more debt. And you can't solve a debt problem by creating more debt. That's just a stupid concept. I don't know why people don't challenge it more. But you can't solve debt by adding more debt. And so if they had really just taken the money that they dished out in liquidity and just handed it to people and let them paid off their debt, you'd have half the country right now would be completely debt-free. And just imagine what that would do to the economy if half the country were debt-free.
Well, unfortunately, they're not about to do that. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Patrick Wood. And you have to understand what's really happening. We're looking basically the idea that there's really smart people out there. They know how to run the world economy. And what they're doing is running it down. They're going to destroy it. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And give us a call. We'd love to know what you're thinking. We'll be back in a moment.
Far across the field, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Joe calling from New Jersey. Hi, Joe. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a question for yourself as well as your guest. The way I've been hearing this conversation going, it sounds like we're headed for worldwide an economic, real bad economic slowdown. And then I heard something mentioned about the price of gold is being manipulated as well as the silver. But, and then you, I heard something to the effect, I think you did say this, Dr. Stan, that if and when the economy starts to go better, then of course the price of gold would go up or something like that. So my question is, what would be the best thing for one to do? I don't have a lot of money, but what little I do have, I'm trying to protect. And so what would be the best thing to do with your fiat currency? Buy gold and silver, I guess?
Well, Patrick, what are your thoughts for Joe?
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, how many times have you heard me say in the radio shows that we've done together where I said cash is king? I just, in a deflationary scenario, cash really is king. And investors have been kind of safe up until this recent period in one asset form or another. For instance, maybe some commodities were doing okay when the stock market was going down or whatever. But this time around, Dr. Stan, the problem is all the asset classes are going down at the same time. So, you know, I heard people, 6 to 9 months ago say, well, I wouldn't touch the stock market with a 10-foot stick, so I'm going to put all my money into silver. You know, and they did at 30, at $30, $32, $33 an ounce, and now silver's down at $18. It was down below $18.75 today. So, you know, there nothing is safe. And I've heard people say, well, I'm going to put money in bonds because I think bonds are, you know, the principal safe. Well, it has nothing to do with, the issuer. It has to do with the interest rate that people are willing to pay for the bonds. And so
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment, my dear. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. We have Joe calling from New Jersey, asking what he can do. He doesn't have a lot of money. He wants to know what to do with it. And basically, he's saying, what should he be doing? And of course, Patrick says, hang on to your money because cash is king right now. And basically, he is encouraging people to buy gold and silver. Patrick says, hang on to your money. My advice would be diversified. Do both. I would suggest maybe half of it, if you can buy gold and silver right now, the other half hold in cash, because we're in certainly uncertain times and we don't know what's going to be happening. So basically, you can do one or the other, or you can do both of them. That's the decision you're going to have to make, Joe. Nobody can tell you what to do, but certainly Patrick's point is very well made. When you get into a deflationary cycle, which we are in today, and we are in it because people are afraid to invest, and justifiably so. They're hanging on to their money, and basically you can tell this from the M1 charts. And when you see this, how people are hanging on to their money, you should as well. So basically, does that answer your question?
Well, I'd like to say yes, but I for some reason or other, my gut feeling says no. And why I say that is, I hear a depressionary cycle, but I see prices still very high. So that to me doesn't seem like we're in a depressionary cycle, as well as what's happening with the precious metals. The way I understand it, that's manipulated. So that's basically not, because this is the other thing with the price of gold and silver. Although it's at that price, people are not selling their gold and silver. They're hanging on to it. And as well as you got to wait so long to try to get silver. So it seems like there's some kind of a dichotomy going on here.
You're absolutely right, Joe. We're living in the most dangerous times financially of your life. Well, my suggestion would be to split it up. Do half of what Pat says and half what other people say. And so that way, remember, you never want to put everything into one thing. I know so many people put all their money into this stock or that stock or all their money into gold and silver. You want to be diversified. And so you don't want to be all in gold. You don't want to be all in silver. And you certainly want to have cash on hand, especially at this time. I think Pat's point is very well made. So you're going to have to make a decision. But there are uncertain times, and you will feel far better if you diversify and you do several things. Would you agree with that, Patrick?
Well, I have no problem with that, Dr. Stan. I think I can help him understand that a little bit, that when we talk deflationary cycle, deflation is not a function of prices rising or falling. It's a function of credit expanding or contracting. There may be price variances depending on what it is in special situations, but usually, and this is not always, but usually prices will decline to some extent at some point in a deflationary cycle. But that's not the measure of deflation. We look at the monetary system, whether it's expanding or contracting. If it's contracting, it will eventually take economic activity down with it. And, some prices may go down, other prices where things become scarce, supply and demand may actually drive them up. So it's not a good yardstick to simply look at prices or the consumer price index and say, oh, well, that's been going up for 2%, for years. That's not really the issue in a deflation. We look at the amount of available credit in the world whether debts are being liquidated, whether that whole credit cloud is contracting. And that's the problem that we're facing today. Some prices indeed may go up for any number of reasons, but other prices are going to be going down, and wealth is going to be wiped out. And the reason people are holding on to cash has nothing to do with the price of goods and services really at all. They're holding on to cash because they know if they run out of cash, there's no way they can replace it again. They don't have any way to regenerate that cash in a deflationary environment because the banks aren't going to give it to them. They can't go out and earn, you know, a $50 an hour job anymore to accumulate cash over and above their expenses. Well, they hang on to their cash. Just that simple.
Of course, the real estate market is doing terribly. It's something they tell us how well the housing market is doing. Well, something is nowhere but near where it was. And the only reason, of course, we see the houses, price of houses going up is because the Chinese are coming over here and buying a lot of them. And so the banks are going in and buying them. They want something that has real value. And they know that our currency is losing its, down the line, is going to lose its value. But right now, our cash is king, and so you want to be certainly in cash, and you want to be in other things. You want to be diversified. Do not put everything into one thing. Okay, Joe?
Yeah, it sounds like what they coin as stagflation is seemed like what's going on.
You're absolutely right.
But here's the other thing: they're printing so much money. There's so much valueless value to money. Why would anybody want to hang on to cash if its value is becoming worthless?
Patrick, would you address that?
It isn't, but it isn't. The dollar has been climbing in international markets because when it comes time for people to pay off debt, especially international debt, they have to pay it off in dollars. That's the way the contracts were written originally. So as people scramble to take other currencies, they scramble to convert back into dollars to pay off their debts. If they didn't have to pay off their debts, there would be no problem, with needing to get a hold of dollars. But companies and governments and individuals around the world are having to clamp down on their credit. They're trying to pay off their debts, in other words. And they have to get a hold of dollars in the international market to pay them off. So I know it's ironic. I know it sounds like an oxymoron. But as deflation continues, the remaining dollars in the system will be more valuable tomorrow than they were today. That's just the way the numbers add up. And that's why the dollar's been going up, for quite some time now, actually. And that's exactly why I forecast the dollar was going to go up, because I understood this mathematical principle. That's just the way it works out.
And Joe, down the line, this may all change. But right now, what Pat is saying is right. We live in a world gone mad. There are only a few of us who are sane. Everybody thinks we're crazy. Okay?
Well, the only other thing I'd like to leave off with is I was listening to your interview, Dr. Stan, with Karen Hudes.
Hudes,
yeah. And what she said on your program was very interesting, because the way I understand it internationally, for instance, like it's called the BRIC nations, they're actually, and even Japan and China, they're starting to not want to use dollars because they see what the heck this Federal Reserve is doing. So they're trying to actually divest themselves of these dollars.
You're absolutely right, Joe. And one day, I think the dollar will be valueless, but that's not right now. And you've got to be very, very agile, okay?
Okay. God bless the both of you fellas, and I hope the best for all of us, because we're really hanging on a shoestring here.
You're absolutely right. This is why I said that this is the most dangerous time you've ever lived through, and an awful lot of people are going to get wiped out. And whatever you do, be prepared to change immediately. Okay.
Okay. God bless both of you fellas.
Okay. Let's go to John calling from Spokane. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hi, John, how are we doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan, doing great. I hope you are too.
Right.
I just wanted to add the thoughts that I've been kind of thinking about it. Why
under a deflationary cycle, we could in the real world, as consumers experience some inflation. And I think the explanation that I've come to is that as we look around, we see that when the business cycle is slowing, and as Pat brought out, the velocity of money is slowing and so on, you have what's going on is that the stronger businesses are able to sort of hang on, but we see a lot of businesses that are, you might call weaker businesses, start to go under. You see blank spots in the mall and empty buildings downtown and things like that. So that even though the consumers are trying to cut back on their spending, there's a certain base demand that they can't go below. You need certain products of this and that type, and therefore you reach sort of a level of demand that can't be gone much lower, and you have fewer suppliers providing to that demand, so you're going to have them start to increase their prices because the demand is greater than the supply. And also, these fewer number of businesses that are just still trying to hang on, they're going to use an increasing price strategy as a means of survival as well. So I think you can have both on the overall picture a deflationary cycle and an inflationary experience to the consumer.
Okay, Doug. Patrick, how would you respond to John?
Well, no, that's right, John, and that's exactly what I was saying just a few minutes ago for the last caller. Prices may go up and maybe go down depending on the individual situation of the commodities or of the company that's producing a good that everybody wants. Deflation and, for that matter, credit inflation is not measured just by prices. It's measured by the status of the available credit in the overall system, the overall market and economy around the world, or in a given country. And right now, it's shrinking. That will cause dislocation. Some prices, well, like precious metals, are going down. That certainly is going to cause some products to drop in price. But you can't extrapolate that and say, well, just because gold's down 20%, that bread and milk are going to be down 20%. That ain't going to happen. You're going to have pressure on some prices to go down, but on other prices that where goods become scarce, where manufacturers go out of business, or we're making a certain product, now all of a sudden there's just a one-horse shop in Minnesota or something that's making a certain thing that everybody wants. Yeah, they're going to be able to charge more. Or maybe they can't get the raw materials anymore because, you know, the ships aren't running between here and China. There could be all kinds of individual reasons on why prices might go up. But we wouldn't want to just look at any group of prices and say, oh, we're having inflation, or, oh, we're having deflation. That doesn't tell the whole story. In fact, it doesn't even tell half the story.
I think we're in for a very difficult time, Sean, and I think it's only going to get worse. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, just to add to that point, that because of this deflationary and lower economy period that we've been going through, and the number of businesses that have been under pressure and some have had to go out of business, if the money that's been printed to buy up assets and bonds and so on ever does get back to the economy, it could cause an acceleration of the inflationary effect because of the number of businesses that have gone out.
It certainly could, John, and this is why I personally believe you should be in money, but you should also be in gold and silver. I think you need to have both. It's not one or the other, but you certainly need to have some money on hand so that you can continue functioning in this economy. But there is a place for gold and silver, yes, very definitely. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
No, just thank you very much for your hard work, and also to Pat. He's always crying in the wilderness a lot of times.
Well, it's just nice to know that you and others are out there listening, and hopefully we're getting them prepared, because I think we're moving into very, very difficult times, and I think that you certainly have to cover every single base. God bless. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
John calling from Spokane. Our telephone number is 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California, why it's 464-8295 or 831-464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. But I think that Patrick's points are very, very well made. And most people don't look at these charts. They don't know what's happening to M1. They don't understand that people are hanging on to their money today. They certainly look and see the stock market certainly are going down. And then, of course, it goes up 100 points today. And people say, oh, well, I'm so glad that's over and everything's going to be fine. But it's not going to be fine. We have certainly lost the financial stability of our currency. I do not believe that there is any gold behind our currency. But basically, we're constantly being manipulated by the people who work behind the scenes. Well, we've got Shelley calling from Washington State. Hi, Shelley. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I have two. I'll try to make them quick. First,
okay, well, just ask one at a time. What's the first one?
Okay. When he said we should have some in cash, does he mean we should keep it at home or keep it in a bank account?
All right, fine. Shelley, what do you think? Pat, should you keep it at home or should they put it in a bank account?
You're talking about cash?
About cash, right.
It would be good to have some in your possession, I believe, because if a situation ever happened like what happened in Greece, you won't be able to get very much out of the bank, even the ATM. So if a real emergency hit, you'd probably want to have, 4 to 6 months worth of cash to cover all your expenses in case nothing else was available. But, you can purchase short-term treasury bills, like 60-day to 90-day maturities. You can do that if you want through a bond, through a cash fund that invests only in those instruments. There are several mutual funds out there that have products like that. You can look around, find a good one, and maybe invest the money there. You'll keep it in those short-term treasuries where you won't lose any principal. And, if you do invest in a CD at a bank, whatever, make sure the bank is strong, and make sure that it's insured. Actually, the FDIC is probably out of money totally right now, but, you make sure it's insured. If you have, a lot of money, don't put more than $250,000 in any one bank for sure.
And Shelley, diversify, diversify, diversify. Don't put it all in every one place, okay?
Okay. Do I have time for one more question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a CD that's in an IRA, and I was contemplating pulling it out, paying the tax on it.
Okay.
I'm 62, and putting it in gold. But you're changing my mind and my thinking talking about.
Patrick, what do you think about that? Pulling your money out of the IRA and maybe putting some of it into gold and some of it in cash. What would you tell her?
Well, I tell you, if the money could just be put into IRA into a cash equivalent investment, I think that would be smarter than taking the tax hit on it, because you will pay quite a large penalty for breaking your IRA.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much for calling, and we'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
Well, we've got Bill calling from Washington. Bill, do you have a quick question for our guest?
I do.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And Shelley just kind of... set a question there. I have an IRA, and I'm thinking about rolling it over into a gold IRA. And what are the consequences, or is that a good idea to go ahead and move it instead of withdrawing it, paying the taxes? Are there risks?
I'm sorry, what do you want to do with it then? What do you want to do with your IRA?
I just have a simple IRA.
Right.
And I want to roll it over into a gold IRA.
All right. Well, what are your thoughts on that, Patrick?
Well, if you leave it in an IRA, like you roll it over from one custodian to another, if you roll it into a precious metals agent where you can invest in gold, silver, maybe other commodities, you're taking a risk. Obviously, you're not going to get any income to accumulate tax free. And you're going to have market risk of price decline, or prices could go up too. But if this is your retirement money and you're planning on using this to actually to fund your retirement, then, you know, you just be really cautious. You don't want to expose yourself to a lot of risk, and there could be still a lot of risk in gold and silver at current, even at current prices, because as this deflationary cycle continues, what investors do is just like a ship out in a storm in the sea. When the storm gets really bad, you start throwing stuff overboard to lay the ship. And this is exactly what people are doing with all these assets. They see the storm coming, and they say, man, I'm selling everything that ain't nailed down. And so they're selling stocks, they're selling bonds, they're selling gold coins, they're selling gold, they're selling silver. All the asset classes are declining at the same time because people are dumping them. So, you know, you just want to be careful with your retirement money.
Okay.
And, go ahead, Dr. Stan.
Oh, that's anything else you want to say, Bill?
Yeah, I had one more. I'm sorry. Yes. If I did, you know, we rolled it over to the gold IRA, do I really trust who has mine? You know?
The question is, Pat, can't he trust the people who are holding the money?
Well, I personally wouldn't do it. If you can't take physical possession of the gold, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot stick.
Okay, I think it's a point well made. Bill, we're going to have to let you go, and thank you so much for being with us, Patrick. Really appreciate you having us, and appreciate your calling, and keep us advised as to what's going on.
You're welcome, Dr. Stan. God bless your efforts.
Bye-bye, and we'll talk to you real soon. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I'll just put my 2 cents in. Basically, I still believe in gold and silver. I think it's a good buy at the present time. I think that the idea of having cash on hand is important. But certainly, if I would not have a gold IRA, I would pay the taxes and take physical possession, because I don't trust any of our financial institutions. I think we're certainly on the verge of a major cataclysmic event. And I will tell you that the elite are making preparations. The elite certainly have certainly buying up 1,600,000,000 rounds of ammunition. Everybody says, oh, they're going to use it to shoot all the law-abiding citizens. No, I think the elite want to protect themselves. I think that that's what it's being bought for. Basically, we know that they've established a doomsday seed bank 800 miles from the North Pole, and it's under guard. They're having heirloom seeds there. We do know that they have all sorts of underground facilities, but just for the elite. They're not making any preparations for the average individual. And I will tell you that, as far as I'm concerned, the elite do not believe in dollars. In fact, I believe that a lot of our gold has disappeared, and I suspect it's in their vaults. Where is all that money? Why won't they give the money to the Germans? You know, they tell them they can have it in 7 years, because they know very well that in 7 years, everything's going to live in a different world. Make your preparations accordingly. And certainly try to get yourself in good shape financially. Lay in the supplies that you would need. If you have not yet heard our 4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack, I suggest you get it. I suggest you get certainly the talk that we have by Ambassador Henry Cooper on the threat of an EMP attack. But if you don't want certainly to purchase these, go up on the Internet and read up on the danger of an electromagnetic pulse attack. Read up on Yamantau Mountain, Yamantau Mountain in Russia, 400 square miles underground facilities there. Why would the Russians build something like that? It's fully stocked and prepared for the coming cataclysmic event. What do the Russians know that you don't know? Yamantau Mountain, 400 square miles underground there. And they have similar facilities, certainly not quite that large, but similar facilities all across Russia, because they want to protect their population. The difference between Russia and America is we have underground facilities here, and you can look at them. Just go up on the Internet, look up underground facilities. But, of course, they're only for the elite. They're not for the common people. In Russia, they have them in every community. There are 5,000 underground facilities in Moscow alone. And in New York City, there's absolutely nothing. In Washington, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, absolutely nothing to protect the average individual. And you have to ask yourself why. And I, of course, believe, of course, the elite are certainly want to certainly survive themselves. I will tell you that they're progressively poisoning the American people. If you've not heard my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, or on population control, the secret agenda, you need to get those two talks, along with the certainly Ambassador Cooper's talk on the threat of an EMP attack. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Make your preparations for food and water and protection and shelter, but also understand this is a spiritual battle. And basically, there are powerful spiritual forces at work. And if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, I would suggest you get down on your knees and simply ask Him to come in into your life and protect you, because none of us are going to be able to survive what lies ahead if we have to rely on our own resources. Most of them are going to have to try to prepare as if it's up to us. But in the final analysis, ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we're going to have to be able to rely upon our Lord to get us through this. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for survival, for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow evening at the same time, we will be back with what I hope will be a great program. Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
I'll be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
It is 25 June, Tuesday, 2013. You're in the right place. That is if you are continuing to scratch your head and ask the question, why?